You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires.
Befriended's up to the front. Argan is into the second spot, trying to stay on. Also trying to commence bids are Figgy and Rosalie May. Morning Splendor's made up a lot of ground, but she's under a vigorous drive and comes under left-handed urging. Our Girl Flint tries to advance, one from the outside. Befriended has the lead. Axel lost the whip. Befriended has the lead at the 3/16th, now the 8th pole. Argan is staying on. Figgy's into third. From the far outside is Our Girl Flint. It is Befriended. Here comes Our Girl Flint and Figgy after her. Figgy and Our Girl Flint trying to come and get Befriended. Here's a thrilling finish in the run to the line. Figgy and Befriended. Our Girl Flint in the center of the track. And Argan finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Twin Spires. Trainer Rusty Arnold has long been one of the most respected trainers in thoroughbred racing, and he is now speaking out following a recent 7-day suspension he received from HISA and the Horse Racing Integrity and Welfare Unit. You just heard the call of Figgy crossing the wire first in the 7th race at Turfway Park on December 27th of last year. That win would have provided the 2-year-old daughter of Candy Ride the first victory of her career. However, 31 days after the running of that race, Arnold was informed he was facing a possible controlled substance violation for Figgy's post-race test involving a trace level of tramadol. This week, Rusty held nothing back in his open letter to the industry, which was distributed on his behalf by the National HPPA. And Rusty is here this morning to talk about a situation which, unfortunately for horsemen and for our industry, is becoming all too common. Rusty, really appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, you made it very clear in the opening of your letter that you have no issue with a positive post-race test. The problem is why it is a positive. And then you go on to point out that you are not anti-HISA, but that you are very much against policies and protocols established by the organization in determining drug and medications violations. So there is plenty to dissect here throughout the letter and in this conversation. What things led you to putting your thoughts in writing for the industry the way you did?
Well, we've sit around and watched people go through these circumstances, and we get on the rail the next morning and talk with each other and say, well, it's really unfair what happened to Mike Lyer. That's really unfair what happened to the Pimentels. It's really unfair. And none of us, I think, want any of the cheaters in the game. But there is also some common sense factor that they are just trashing reputations, livelihoods of trainers right now that aren't cheating. And it's clearly not cheating. It's clearly environmental contamination. I think they know it. And it's a lot of things have come out of control. And I guess what I pointed out is if you think your turn's not coming, you just haven't been paying attention, because your turn's coming. It's just a matter of getting put in the wrong stall at the receiving barn, get in the wrong stall in the test barn, and your horse. I mean, when I had a conversation with the head of HIWU, Ben Moser, he said, well, we're going to treat these horses like human athletes. And I said, well, you can start doing that when you show me a human athlete that grazes, he eats dirt, he licks the wall, and he eats his own manure. When you show me that, I'll compare them. But if not, they're apples to oranges right now, and you can't compare them. We cannot control what they do.
That was one part of the letter that really did jump out to me. When you pointed out the different ways that horses can find substances in their system, and as you just alluded to, licking the walls, eating the manure, they eat dirt. There are a variety of ways that this can happen. What do you say, Rusty, to the people that say, okay, wait a minute here, this is a crock. Trainers are just trying to protect themselves. This cross-contamination argument it doesn't hold any water. What do you say to the people on the other side of the fence?
Well, I think I'll go back and say, they're living in fantasy land. You know, you'll see the comments. I know there's a lot of people think, oh, this is another trainer crying out, he got caught. Now he wants sympathy. The first thing I don't want is anybody's sympathy, nor I need anybody's sympathy. I don't care. I just think there's an injustice going on that people are losing their livelihoods, losing their reputations out of things that are out of their control. And if it was if it's a case where there's something there, I'm not against the drug violations, but there is no such thing in this world anymore of zero tolerance. It just is not a possible thing. When I'll just use tramadol because that's what I was, convicted of. There's 30 million prescriptions of it. It goes down toilets. It goes in wastewater. It goes in urine. It gets in the stalls. What can we control with that? And if it's a level that is so small that there is no chance that it helped the horse in his performance, I think they need to not push on those. That's just my opinion. Now, I think Haiwu / HISA needs to come up with that tolerance level. I don't think they need to throw out, hey, these guys can run on tramadol. But if it's a trace limit that they know has no effect on a horse's performance, they can't act on those positives. And that's my opinion, and I think it needs to be in their policy.
Rusty, for people that don't understand the environment that trainers are operating in now, and horsemen in general are operating in, explain to people how the current system that's in place with HISA works and how those protocols are enforced.
Well, the system, that as far as how it comes about when you have a positive, is that what you're,
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was informed again 31 days after the day by email from Haiwu that I was facing a possible controlled medication violation from a race 31 days ago. It used to be a lot quicker than that. It used to be about 14 days. I was a little shocked. I mean, when do you relax? When does your horse run and when you're happy? I mean, the purses were paid out back when I started in the business. I'm getting older, obviously. When the purses were paid out, the drug test was already cleared. You know, that's far from the way it is now. 31 days later, you have a drug out. Then they ask you, do you want to plead guilty or do you want to do a B sample? And everybody's going to do a B sample, I think, if you can afford it, just in case it's not there. And if nothing else, it gives you a little bit of time to see what happened. You get a period of 5 days to send a defense in of what you think happened. Then the split goes off to a lab of HISA's choice, Haiwu's choice, and then you wait for the B sample split to come back. Mine was, I paid for it on the 28th, which was the next day. And I got the results on March 6th. So there you go. That's all of February, which is a short month, 29 days, 6 days in March. Those are 35 days, 3 days in December when it ran. So you're looking at 38 days later before you get the split back. The horse that you just befriended has run back two times. Two times it's raced back. Since that race, everybody used to jump and say, these trainers are appealing these convictions. It's taking too time. No appeal whatsoever. This was Haiwu's, time to get this test back, which I think is just not tolerable to be that long, over 2 months to get it back. And now you get the result of the B sample, and they, if it's positive, they will give you the level of the A sample after the B sample confirms the positive of the A sample. The B sample you never get a level of because it doesn't matter. They're just confirming that tramadol was in the horse. And they post it on their website without you knowing it. I think they're going to change that policy after the other day. I think they already have changed that policy that they have to notify the trainer that the B sample came back either positive or negative before they post it on our website, which I thought was very unfair that got posted before I got contacted, which would have given me a chance to contact my owners myself instead of them reading it on the website. But I do think after a conversation with Mark Guilfoyle yesterday that they have changed that policy, and which is a good thing. Then after that comes out, you get an email, and it will tell you what your, it says that we read your explanation of how you thought this happened. We don't agree that we think that you violated the rules and the horse raced with tramadol in it. It gave me the amount. And you're facing a 15-day, in this case, was a 15-day suspension, loss of purse, and a $1,000 fine and 2 points against your trainer's record. And as you go on an email, if you will sign an admission of guilt and admit that you raced your horse at Tramadol, we will cut your penalty to 7 days and loss of purse and a $1,000 fine and 2 points against your trainer's record. And with, you know, major racing coming up, Keeneland, Churchill, everything coming on, it just was a good thing. That it just made sense to me. Let me take my 7 days right now, because I've seen too many people fight these things for 2 years, spend $100,000, and then get 15 days, loss of purse, and a fine. So I started mine today.
Yeah, starting on Friday. And, Rusty, we are recording this conversation on Friday morning, and folks listening to it here on the Equine Forum listening on Saturday morning. The other thing you bring up is the owner side of it. It is not just the trainers. Figgy's owner is now out the $40,000 share of the winner's purse, but you also have breeders' awards to think about. There are so many different layers and so many people that are affected by these policies that you're discussing and pointing out. It goes well beyond the trainers, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, your owner gets the worst of it. They lose $40,000, you know, and it goes down to, you know, your groom's percent, your assistant's percent, everybody else gets affected. And why this thing took so long that just isn't acceptable is the horse that she beat has come back and raced twice and won. And now is standing, which I think we'll get. It will get two maiden purses now. It'll get the maiden purse when it was beaten, and it's going to get the maiden purse when it won 2 days ago. That, you know, that's unacceptable that happens. That if they're going to give it the first one, it should have been a winner for the second one. They can't let these things drag on that long. And since Ben Mosier and Mary Scalay have taken over Haiwu, they've slowed it to a crawl. It didn't used to be that long. It used to take a post-race sample would usually take 14 to 17 to 20 days. Now it's 30. And it, you know, and a post-workout blood sample used to take 8 to 10 days. Now it goes up to 21 days. If you work one that's on a vet's list or is not raced in 365 days or has a four-year-old maiden that's never started, they have to have a vet workout before they can run. And the blood workout is taking, you know, 3 weeks to get back for your horse to race. And we don't know why. We're getting no explanation why these things are extended that slow.
Yeah. You know, one thing that is also mentioned in your letter, you say that HISA CEO Lisa Lazarus always says we are better with HISA than without them. And you retort that with saying, okay, then make us a partner, not an enemy. Does it seem like HISA is the enemy of horsemen at this point?
I don't think there's any doubt right now on the medication issues. I said one of their big statements when they started is we're not going to be gotcha chemistry. We're not going to just be out there just to say we gotcha. And when you get one of these, you feel like you got caught by gotcha chemistry. I mean, it's just really tough when you think that you do everything right. You guard your horse. I mean, my horse is under 24/7 surveillance. Keeneland has state-of-the-art surveillance put in by Dr. Brown. One of the improvements he made when he came there, he put state-of-the-art. I mean, you can't move without being under security. We offered it and said, would you like to have it? No response to that whatsoever, which I don't know what it would prove, but it would prove what's been in and around that horse. And if they're going to put it in, I think they need to use it. I'd agree with Lisa. I don't think we're worse off, or we're not better with HISA, but I think they've got to work together. I mean, as I said, which I do believe in the NFL, the, MLB, everybody else, they have a players union. They negotiate their contracts. They sign the contracts and they play under that. We don't get that. You know, they make the rules and we play under them. And that's the way it is right now. And I don't think that it's acceptable. I think we should have some say-so in the policy. We don't want to run on drugs. We don't want to run on medication. But we need to not be crucified on a minute amount of a medication that we have no control over how it got in the system.
Talking with trainer Rusty Arnold here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Rusty, how does the situation get resolved, or at least how does it become acceptable and improved enough where horsemen will say, okay, now we're kind of on the same page?
Well, I think we have to sit down at a table and express what we think needs to be done, and I think they have to listen. I mean, they have an advisory board right now that meets ever so often and say, what do y'all think we should do? What do you think? And then they say, we'll see you in a month. We need to, when in the policy, when the policy is written, and I think they need to listen to the horse people that are out there on a daily basis and whose basis and whose lives are on the line. I mean, it's our lives. We've got to have a little bit of say-so. Nobody wants to run on drugs. Nobody wants these horses to run on drugs. And I think we need to come together, but there cannot be. There is no such thing as zero tolerance. It just isn't there. If common sense is telling you, if your own science tells you that the amount of these medications in a horse have zero effect on their ability to improve their ability, on their racing ability, I don't think they need to be called positives.
Rusty, with the suspension beginning for you on Friday, that means that your horses entered in the Florida Oaks poolside with Slim and in the Hurricane Birdie Stakes, Red Carpet Ready, will not be saddled by you. Tell me what's going to happen with those horses.
Well, fortunately for me, which I wasn't even sure of the rules, nor is everybody else, they're allowed to race. I didn't even know that myself,
or I wouldn't
have accepted this penalty at this time. I would have started later. But they're allowed to race. They'll be saddled by an assistant trainer and or a friend trainer of mine, and nothing will change. They are letting one of the good parts of HISA is they let the people that take care of these horses continue to take care of them, which is a great policy. The horses aren't uprooted, moved to something else, moved to another barn. They're allowed to race. They're allowed to keep their grooms. They're allowed to keep their hot walkers. They go right to the race the same way. There'll be one difference. I won't be putting a girth on them, and I don't saddle that many of them anyway. So there'll be no issues at all, and I agree with all of that. And I agree with them letting these horses race because they didn't used to. Now, this morning, the Tampa stewards called and said, we're going to have to scratch your horse. You're suspended. I said, no, that's not the way it is. And they said, well, you can't race. You're suspended. And they were great. It was John Morris. He couldn't have been better. He said, well, we'll have to talk to somebody. And they did. And Mark Guilfoyle and Lisa called him up, said, nope, these horses are okay to run. And so their policy is good, but nobody knows the policy. And then an hour later, Gulfstream called me and said, we're going to have to scratch Red Carpet Ready tomorrow. And I said, no, she's allowed to run. Got it right here in the agreement. And then HISA called them and told them they were allowed to run. So there's a lot of confusion in the rules right now. That needs to be ironed out.
Yeah, confusion, miscommunication. The fact that the stewards at two major racetracks like that don't know what the rules are and how to apply the rules is really troubling, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's one of the things that has to be ironed out. I did not know them, you know, and I'm on 48 years now, and I didn't know what they were. So, and those are good things. And I think HISA has done a lot of good things, but I think we've got some issues that they are going to have to let us be part of. I don't think they know exactly what we do out here on a daily basis or what we deal with, and I think they're going to have to open their ears and listen.
If all those things happen, Rusty, can HISA be the answer for this industry going forward?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think they need us as a partner. I don't think they need to just stand back and say, this is the way it's going to be. We know more about what you all need than you do. I think they need to listen.
Well, right now, as it was pointed out in your letter, they are the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And that is not working right now. A dictatorship isn't what is going to get this industry moving forward. And let's hope that your letter does some good, that at least creates the conversation, that it brings people to the table together to have these productive conversations and fix some of the things that are very real issues and, Rusty, affecting a lot of people's lives as it's currently structured.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a martyr. I'm just hoping that there'll be some conversation that it will just awaken people to know what we're dealing with, what's going on, and see if we can't come together and fix it.
Rusty, I appreciate the time here this morning and really appreciate you taking time to put that letter out there. And again, the more positive conversations we can have about these things and bring certain issues to light as they affect everybody in our game, the better it is. So kudos to you and all the best. Enjoy the 7 days, I guess, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you get back in the spring here.
Okay, thank you, and I'll see you in Keeneland.
All right, that is Rusty Arnold here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. If you haven't seen the letter, go to the National HBPA website. It is really powerful. Rusty was fired up, and he held nothing back in that letter. He held nothing back here this morning either. And as you heard him say, there is a way out of this. There is a way forward. So it isn't all doom and gloom, but things have to change. Conversations have to take place. People have to sit down at the same table together. And I loved his line, make us a friend, not an enemy. That is the key going forward. And I appreciate Rusty taking time to be with me here this morning. Coming up next, it is time for this week's edition of Your Legends of the Turf. And then I'm back with more here on the Equine Forum.